In a matter of hours, we're going to have the first clues about what's going to happen in this historic midterm election. Even before the polls opened this morning, a record number of early ballots had been cast. At stake is control of the House of Representatives, the Senate, and numerous governorships, as well as state and local races across the country, and a number of ballot measures. Today, long lines are being reported at polling places across the country, despite severe weather on the East Coast and snow in the Northern Rockies. Joining us now is NPR congressional correspondent Scott Detrow. Hi, Scott.
Happy Election Day.
Happy Election Day. And what's your sense of turnout today?
Well, you know, you hear the anecdotal stories earlier in the day, and it's hard to put that into terms in terms of numbers. Certainly a lot of pictures of long lines, a lot of people talking about long lines. But those early voting numbers you mentioned are pretty interesting. About 36 million people voted early, and a significant percentage of people who did vote early didn't vote at all in 2014. So there's always a conversation about how much stock should you put in early voting, or people just changing their habits, and they seem to over time. But the fact that a pretty big chunk of people who didn't vote at all at the last midterm showed up and voted early is a good sign that it's going to be higher than usual turnout in this midterm election, likely.
Now, we'll start to get the first results early this evening. What are you going to be watching for on the earlier side to find out whether this is going to be a good night for Democrats or Republicans?
Three key races that close in the first few hours, one in Kentucky, two in Virginia. The Kentucky race is a pretty heavily Republican district where incumbent Republican is Andy Barr. He's running against one of these candidates that really typifies the Democratic field this year, Amy McGrath. She's a combat fighter pilot veteran and one of those Democrats who really went viral, raised a ton of money from around the country, and is a first-time candidate playing up military background and a woman running as a Democrat. So if she's hanging in there or ahead of Andy Barr early on, that's a sign that things are going to go well for Democrats. And then two Virginia seats that are in the Washington, D.C. suburbs. These are kind of easier seats for Democrats to pick off. Dave Bratt's district and Barbara Comstock's district. Those are the two Republican incumbents. They're both running against women. So many of the Democrats running on the ballot this year are women. Abigail Spanberger and Jennifer Wexton are the Democratic candidates there. So I'm going to be keeping an eye on those three districts. If we're a couple hours into results and Democrats are ahead in all three, that's a really good indication Democrats are going to have a good evening.
Okay. And the conventional wisdom at this point is that Democrats have a good chance of retaking control of the House, but that the Senate is much more difficult. Is it possible, as you look at the races that are out there, for the Democrats to have a really good night and take back both the House and the Senate?
It's possible. A lot of people aren't predicting it, but there is a very narrow path to do that. And remember, this time 2 years ago, we were talking about the very narrow path that Donald Trump right. needed in order to become president. So it can happen. Democrats need to defend seats in 10 states that Trump carried in 2016. The interesting thing is most of those states like Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, seem to be easy defenses for Democrats compared to what they thought going into this election cycle. So if Democrats hold all the seats that they're defending, including real tough seats like North Dakota, Montana, and Indiana, and then pick off a couple seats in the Southwest, that's the way it could be possible.
What would be a very good night for Republicans, or is it possible for them to hold both the House and the Senate?
Sure, that would be the best night for Republicans, but most Republicans I've been talking to the last few days are pretty resigned to losing the House of Representatives, and a good night for them is maintaining control of the Senate or maybe even adding a seat or two to their Senate majority.
So if the Democrats take the House, what does that mean for President Trump? What do you expect him to do?
A whole lot of investigations. Democrats have talked about wanting to pass measures right away on lowering costs for health care, on some sort of permanent status for people in the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. But the biggest area that we'll see a shift right away is the fact that Democrats will be able to set the agenda and Democrats will be able to hold hearings investigating the Trump White House for a whole range of issues, things like why the Trump administration really tried to undersell the Affordable Care Act or try to scale back key parts of it. And, of course, the Russia investigation. Democrats haven't really talked about Russia as much on the campaign trail, but it's out there. And you're going to see a much different House Intelligence Committee investigation into the Russia allegations, for instance, if Democrats are the ones calling the shots.
And what's going to be on the agenda if Republicans keep control?
That's a great question. We haven't heard too much about it because Republicans have just been playing defense for so long. But if President Trump comes back with a Republican House and Senate, I think one thing that you'll see is a yet another conversation about repealing the Affordable Care Act or reassembling it in some way or another. Republicans have been on defense the last few weeks, especially saying that they do support protections for pre-existing condition coverage. But still, they ran for almost a decade on repealing Obamacare. And if they still have control, you have to imagine they would try again. I
just want to ask you one more thing quickly. A lot of governor's races out there, and one that everybody's been watching is the one in Georgia. We might not know who the winner is for some time, because if one of the candidates doesn't get over 50%, there's going to be a runoff.
That's right. The Georgia and Florida governor's races are the two most interesting ones to me. And the good news is they both are on the earlier side in terms of when the polls close. So we'll be seeing those numbers early in the evening.
All right. We will be watching it and listening to you, Scott Detrow, NPR congressional correspondent. Thank you.
Thank you.